This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of The Ringer will join us. We will go over the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. It is here. Four games this weekend, and after this, only three games left. So, a fun weekend. This is, I know, a lot of people's favorite weekend of the NFL calendar because, yeah, you still get the four games. You still get the, you know, the Saturday games. You get the two on Saturday, two on Sunday. So it's still a relatively full card, and it's the best of the best. It's you kind of get the pretenders out of there. It's the Elite Eight version of the NFL. So the it's all the big boys back in action. Back under the old format, it was, you know, the two teams that had the bye. Back when it was two or back in action, which we didn't get to see in the wild card round. But now with the one, it's still like the Lions are back, the Chiefs are back, the teams that won last week. So it sets up, I think, a good round. And I talked about this the other day. If chalk holds here, if we get relatively what we expect, we are looking at a very good final four of, I would think, Lions, Eagles, and then the Chiefs versus either the Bills or the Ravens. And the Bills Ravens is the game of the weekend. It's funny, the Bills have played in this divisional round feels like every year, and it feels like every year they are the game, that Sunday late game, the marquee game, the game of the weekend. But it's usually against the Chiefs, and now it's against the Ravens. The two good quarterbacks, the two really good quarterbacks, the chance to go to the title game, just a really, you know, an evenly matched game. Kansas City, Houston, an 8-point spread puts, you know, Baltimore, Buffalo on center stage is certainly the game of the AFC and the game of the weekend, just because it is so evenly matched and you have two juggernauts, and you can make a case, hey, whoever wins that game is perhaps the, I wouldn't go so far to say, hey, whoever wins that game is going to win the Super Bowl. But, you know, you get the idea that that game is going to go a long way, I guess, into deciding it on the, you know, the other side of that. You have to go to at Kansas City. Detroit has home games. I understand that, but this is, you know, you get the idea. This is probably two of the three or four best teams in the league, and they knock each other off around early. It's almost like getting an Elite Eight game in, in the round of 32 or something. You just get this like a round or so early. This is the caliber of an AFC title game. But before we get to John Jastrzemski, I'll give you my picks, thoughts on these games, and then we'll talk to JJ. I'll start Chiefs Texans Saturday, the early game. Boy, they are making you pay a tax on the Chiefs. If you bet the Chiefs, you get Mahomes, you get the rest, you get Andy Reid, you get a lot of stuff, home field advantage. But boy, this line up to 9.5 in some spots, they are saying, first of all, you have to pay a tax if you're betting the Chiefs, and they are putting up a big red stop sign, a big red light to the Chiefs teaser money. And you're not going to just sit here and tease the Chiefs with the Lions, tease the Chiefs with Ohio State, tease the Chiefs with whoever flips is the underdog in Bills Ravens at the moment. They're going to make you think twice or pay extra for the teaser. So I think it's a little inflated. I like the under more than anything. Texans are good on defense. Texans are not good on the offensive line. Shaky weapons. Kansas City figured a little healthier defensively. It's not a ton of margin for error at 41.5. It's still a pretty low total, but to me, like a 24-17 type of game. I do think the spread's a touch high, and I do like the under. Again, not a ton of wiggle room there. 41.5. I mean, look, 23-20 is a relatively low scoring game, and that still goes over. So it is a low total, but I will go under, and I lean towards the Texans covering the number. The next game, Lions Commanders. Again, I sense a lot of sentiment for Washington, which is something that always happens. We watch the teams win wildcard weekend, and we say, oh man, that team won. They're hot. They're, you know, you see that positive reinforcement of the team winning. You want to back them the next week. And people forget the team that was off for a reason. They're home, but they're better. And I just think Washington with a really bad run defense, man, Detroit is not the place you want to go when you're shaky against the run. Campbell's teams are never flat. I mean, they lose some games, but they always come out sharp. That building isn't going to let them be flat. So I think Detroit can basically score. Every time they touch the ball might be extreme, and who knows with the fourth downs, but I think they will get well into the 30s here. Saw punts. Over-under for punts in this game is 5.5. I would go under there, and under is plus money just because Campbell is obviously uber aggressive. They have a good offense. They don't have a good defense. Quinn last week, the Washington coach, was aggressive as well. So under 5.5 punts is a good one, and I would lean towards Detroit laying the points, and I do like the Detroit team total over 31.5. I think they scored at 35, maybe 38 points. I know it's a lot in the NFL, but man, I think it's a bad matchup for Washington. Defensively, I worry a little bit about a backdoor cover, but I don't want to be sitting here with betting Washington. It'll be a lean towards the Lions. The two games on Sunday, I don't have a great feel for Eagles Rams. I don't love the idea that an LA team, short rest, whatever you want to make of the distraction with the fires, obviously didn't hurt them against the Vikings, but we've just seen this so many times where these warm weather teams go outdoors, cold weather, hostile environment, and struggle. So for that reason, I would go with Philly. If you're making the case for the Rams, hey, Hall of Fame quarterback, probably a Hall of Fame coach, and you got a hell of a pass rush now. So they're live. I think those are a lot of rest. Those are a lot of ingredients to be live against anyone. The outdoors worries me. In Philly worries me. You know, maybe you get a bad Hurts game. It seems like AJ Brown is beat up, not 100%, but I do think Philly behind the home crowd, behind the running game, wins this game by touchdown, 10 points, something like that. So I will go with Philly. And then I'm going to go with the Ravens. I just think they're bigger. I think it's a bad matchup for Buffalo. I think Buffalo's really small defensively. They can be vulnerable, giving up big run plays. Baltimore's got the better coach. Baltimore's just got more with, Lamar and Henry versus Allen. You can almost make it as simple as that. Allen just doesn't have Henry. It's almost like it's a 2-on-1 against oversimplifying it. But again, better coach. They destroyed them. I know it's week 4, regular season. The game was in Baltimore, but Baltimore won by 25 points, and they had 8 yards per play to Buffalo's 4 yards per play. So that is a stark, stark difference in terms of their first meeting, their regular season meeting, where Baltimore dominated. I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game, and I mentioned this, I think, the other day. I do worry a little bit. Hey, Tucker was such a talking point for a while. The Ravens kicker is missing kicks every week, multiple kicks. It's flown under the radar because the games have been such blowouts and they're scoring nothing but touchdowns. If the bet came down to Tucker having to make like a 47, 48 yarder to win it, I wouldn't feel great about it. I think that's being forgotten about a little bit. The Tucker issue is kind of gone into the background for obvious reasons, but that is something that keep in the back of my mind. But I do think Baltimore wins a close game. Should be a lot of fun. If you could find whoever's like a 1-point dog and teasing them to 7, 7.5, ideally the 7.5. I think that's a way to play it because I would expect this to be a good game, a one possession game, and really the game of the weekend. But we'll see what John Jastrzemski thinks. Get his thoughts on all of these games, maybe some coaching stuff, maybe some baseball. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast, and he is back. You can catch him on the Ringer, New York podcast. It is our buddy, the great John Jastrzemski. JJ, great weekend. 4 great games, 4 good games. I know this is a lot of people's favorite weekend. What's going on? Are you excited for these ball games here?
I'm very excited for these games. Well, thanks, of course, for having me. I think we all are counting down the hours until we get to see Lamar Jackson take on Josh Allen. A lot of narratives on the line. The idea of probably playing Patrick Mahomes in an AFC championship game is on the line. And let's just hope that the divisional round is a heck of a lot better than Wild Card Weekend. Now, I shouldn't complain. Wild Card Weekend treated me very, very well outside of Tampa Bay and the Washington Commanders. But outside of that game, you had a bunch of duds. Can we get some good games this weekend? Let's go.
The games were not good, but I was kind of putting a positive spin on it in terms of, all right, we got blowouts, but we didn't get a lot of upsets. And sometimes you see this like the NCAA tournament where, we love these upsets early, but it kills the later rounds. It kills the Final Four. You have St. Peter's in the Elite Eight. We are looking, if chalk holds here, we are looking at an incredible Final Four of Detroit, Philly, Kansas City, and either Baltimore, Buffalo. I mean, that if it holds, that is as good as it gets.
No doubt about it. I don't know if you have felt this way thinking about the weekend and the weekend as a whole. Don't you think, and we'll take Baltimore and Buffalo out of it because you're going to get a top-notch Super Bowl contender no matter who wins that game playing in the AFC title game. I almost feel as if Kansas City, Detroit, or Philadelphia. I don't know if I'm willing to say one of those teams is definitely going to get picked off, but I know for sure one of those teams is going to be fighting tooth and nail to get there. You know what I mean? Well, it can't be as easy as we are laying it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but man, the NFL, and I know a lot of the professional better, sharper better guys that usually do well didn't have good years because it was just so chalk heavy. Favorites win, favorites cover. I mean, that's just not what you're used to in the NFL. You're used to live dogs, close games. It was a weird year in the NFL in terms of that.
Yeah, listen, I can speak to that. It was not a great regular season for your boy. I think if you were one of these guys, and I like to do this a lot, where you go contrarian in a lot of these games, nope. The contrarian plays did not treat you well. And to be honest with you, well, I had to adopt a lot of my philosophy on playing games later in the year saying, hey, I know these are my usual instincts. You got to trust what you're seeing. You got you can't get too cute. And a lot of these games midway through the year, I was getting too cute. And then end of the year, I said, the hell with it. I'm taking the big favorites. I'm going with the teams that I can count on to cover games on a consistent basis. So, yeah, it has been that kind of year, but things do change. And we'll see if one of those teams maybe gets knocked off potentially this weekend.
All right, let's get into them. Let's go in order here. Chiefs laying 8.5, total 41.5. If you're betting the Chiefs, you're getting a lot. You're getting Mahomes. You're getting the rest. Andy Reid, home field advantage. But boy, you're paying, it looks like, a pretty hefty tax. I don't know that I can get to 8.5 with this number. Feels like it should be more like, I don't know, touchdown. Chiefs don't really blow anybody out. Texans have a pretty good defense. Not dying to bet the Texans here, but and there's some 8.5s. There's some 9s. I think the 9s are trying to get you off of those teasers. Do you have a pick in this game?
Yeah, it's a tough game. And look, Kansas City's going to win the game. Kansas City, though, doesn't cover numbers. That's just all there is to it. They play close games. The games usually end up being ugly. And you mentioned the rest. I think it could go beyond rest. And it could be a conversation of rust in the early going of this game. Let's acknowledge something here. Kansas City has not played a game that matters. Going all the way back, Will, to Christmas Day. This is not a week 17, hey, they played on Sunday or Monday. They took week 18 off. They had their bye week. They had that weird stretch where they played the Texans on a Saturday. Then they played the Steelers on Christmas Day. We haven't seen the Chiefs since then. So it's all well and good that they're getting guys back. It's all well and good that they're used to having the bye. I know what Andy Reid's record is off the bye. I'm wondering if there is going to be a rust factor for Kansas City starting off this game. And the other thing I don't like about the Chiefs, and again, they're the Chiefs. They'll find a way. They always seem to find a way. Their tackles are not great. And I saw the Houston defensive line with Anderson and Hunter. They absolutely tormented Justin Herbert. I'm seeing 8.5 points. I know you're not going to feel good about it because you're going up against the coach quarterback combo that's the best in all football, that's going to end up at Canton, Ohio. If you're playing this game, to me, it's Texans at pass. I am not laying the big number with the Chiefs. I can't do it. Now, could I have massive egg on my face if C.J. Stroud stinks and the Texan offense stinks and they're the team we saw for the first, I don't know, quarter and a half against the Chargers last week? Yeah, there's a possibility of that. I just think it's way too many points. This reeks of a close game. I'd be thinking about taking Houston in the first half and then seeing how the second half goes. But if you need a play on this game, my lean as we sit here on Thursday is Houston.
Yeah, I think of it as like, and I generally have the same take as you, it was like a 24-17 type of game, lean towards the under, lean towards taking the points. I made the same point the other day. It is an inordinate amount of rest. I mean, you are getting basically that extra week. You're talking a month off. That is a ton. But I could also see a flip side of this. Like, I could see him be rusty, but I could also see they come out and they just maximize their time off perfectly. They're fresh. They're rested. Kelsey looks good. And you just feel like an idiot. It's 14-0 right away. And like, wow, why did I think rest would be a bad thing? So I can see it going either way.
I get everybody out there looking at teaser legs. And this is where the NFL and favorites and a lot of the squares have made a lot of money this year. Give them credit for that. How do you not tease down Kansas City in this game? Well, like,
oh, you have to.
I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. How do you not tease down Kansas City? Kansas City's not losing this game to Houston, are they?
No, I wouldn't think so. And people go, oh, it looks too obvious. Well, you know what? Bills Ravens teaser last week was obvious, and it was you know, it was never in doubt. So
it was a layup. Exactly. Yes. It was a layup. So yeah. Enjoy the layup when you get it every now and again.
Lions laying 8.5 to the Commanders. This is same thing as Houston, Kansas City, some 9, some 9.5s. If you can get the 8.5, that's also in teaser range. I don't see them losing this game. Campbell's teams never really come out flat. I think they're going to have a really – boy, I think if you're Washington and you're not a good run defense, this is the wrong building to go into. I could see Washington running into a buzzsaw here. I understand, and I sense there's been some, you know, some sentiment for Washington here. People like Daniels. People like the team that won last week. But, man, tough spot going into Detroit here. I lean towards Detroit, but it is a lot of points.
It's a very, very tough spot because the Lions are rested, and it looked like they – found something getting Anzalone back on that defense against your Vikings. Now, we know what happened to Sam Darnold the following week against the Los Angeles Rams, and I think that's what we're trying to figure out going into this game. Did the Lions get healthier on defense and make some serious adjustments, Or did they take advantage of a quarterback where the stage and the moment was maybe a little bit too big for him? The stage and the moment is not going to be too big here for Jaden Daniels. I think we saw that against Tampa last week. He's calm, cool, and collected. He can go and make plays with his legs. Part of me, Will, says I could see this being Detroit having their way with the Washington defense, to your point. I think they're scoring 30-plus points in this game with ease. They are great at home offensively. They can move it up and down a field. They know how to finish when they get inside the 20-yard line. They're just a prolific offensive group, and they're that much better when they're in that building. Am I going to be stunned if we're sitting here and this is a 14-point game and I have Detroit laying the 8.5 or the 9 and I'm sweating out a backdoor cover? Because that's kind of how I see this game playing out. I'm taking Detroit because they're the better team. They're at home, and they go pedal to the metal. They're not one of these teams that usually lets their foot off the gas. They want to keep going, 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 and going some more. I like the fact that they don't kick field goals. If it's close, it's 4th and 2, 4th and 3. Campbell's going to go for it. You like that much more if you're trying to go and cover a big number. But let me just warn everybody. I picked against Washington a lot. It has not gone well for me this year. I picked against Washington last week against Tampa. It was my only loss wild card weekend. So I like the Lions. I think it's a high scoring game. I don't know if it hits the over is ridiculous at like 55.5. I don't know how you play that. But my point for this game is Lions, and I know I'm going to be sweating it out late.
Yeah, I completely agree about the backdoor scenario. I feel like, you know, this is if it's 17 late, you're good if you're Detroit because Daniels is driving to cut it to 10. If it's 14 and Daniels is driving to cut it to 7, you're in big trouble because he can run. Detroit will be playing soft. So I could certainly see where this is like, you know, 14-point game, 17-point game with, you know, Washington with a chance to either cut it to like 10, 7, and depending on, you know, what it is at the time. You know, covering or not covering. How about this one? Under 5.5 punts for the game, plus 120 at DraftKings.
Oh, I like that.
Nobody's
like
punting
that.
In this game, right?
Yeah, I think the only way you run into trouble there is if Washington gets off to a slow start. That's the only way I think you run into trouble. But yeah, 5.5 punts, I don't see how we get to that total. I don't.
And even if Washington gets off to a slow start, well, then they're probably going to have to play catch up and they're probably going to, you know, chase
they're not
points
gonna later in the game. Yeah, touche. Exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Eagles laying 6 against the Rams. Look, Rams have a coach, a quarterback, and they now have a pass rush. They've done a hell of a job replacing Aaron Donald. They got some monster pass rushers. That being said, LA, warm weather team, going into Philly, extra rest for Philly. Who knows the distraction with the Rams, all the LA stuff. It didn't hurt them against the Vikings, but you know, can't be a positive. I think Philly probably wins this game by a touchdown, 10 points or so. I'm not dying to lay the 6, but I would lean towards Philly here. What do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I'm zagging here. And everybody I talk to seems to love the Eagles. And I understand why. Will, you kind of detailed the case. Short week for the Rams. The idea of going to the East Coast. The matchup has not been favorable. Saquon Barkley ran all over them when they played back in November. They beat them last year in L.A. The Rams have not matched up well with Philadelphia. And I acknowledge Philadelphia, pound for pound, is probably the most talented team left playing. Like, when you take offense, defense, lines, special teams, the whole kit and caboodle, I think they're the most talented roster on the board. That's the way I see it. However, I think they have an offense problem. What do I mean by that? I'm worried about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was awful in that game against the Packers. Now, I had the Eagles. I laid the points last Sunday. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm like, holy smokes. How is this game close? Green Bay is just putrid. Love was putrid. They're committing 10 zillion penalties. They lose 10 zillion receivers. And that was a game in the fourth quarter. Jalen Hurts, outside of the Super Bowl that he played really, really well and should have won for what it's worth against Kansas City, you look at his playoff games, other than that Super Bowl, under 200 yards in every single one of these games. And I'm getting Sean McVay, who I like more than Sirianni. I'm getting Matthew Stafford, who I know, you know, he's playing in warm weather now, and now he's the California quarterback. He played games at Lambeau Field. He won a game at MetLife Stadium in the cold a couple weeks ago. I think the Rams got something going here. I really do. And this game could end up being 31-13, and I look like a damn fool here. And mind you, I have some Eagles Super Bowl futures from the beginning of the year. But I just get the sense that Ram team is scratching and clawing. And I asked you the question about who's going to be the most likely to upset the championship Sunday party between the Lions and the Chiefs and the winner of the next game we're going to talk to. To me, the team that's most likely to do it well, the Los Angeles Rams. Because of that coach, because of that quarterback, and the resurgent pass rush, I'm on the Rams plus six.
I don't disagree with any of that. And throwing the fact that A.J. Brown, you know, maybe not 100%, seems like
he's certainly not sure. Yeah, what's going on with him, man? He's reading books. He's been a non-factor in these games, and he doesn't look 100% right either.
No, he doesn't. The only thing about Hurts, and I was on Green Bay last week, and Hurts was not good, 39 yards passing at half. It seemed like every time he needed to respond, like once he needed to get going, he did. Green Bay scored a couple times. He came right back, let him down the field. So maybe it was just rust, having not played in a while, the concussion, maybe. So that's, you know, at least something that crossed my mind where Hurts was at least
better. And I'll tell you something else, Will, with the Eagles, when you go against them, it's infuriating. When you have them, it's really encouraging. They are automatic, dude, in these short yardage situations. Automatic. Almost have to factor that into the handicap. If they're getting into third and three, they're going to run it, and then they're going to run it again and get the first down. That it's tough. It makes things that much more challenging on a defense.
Every drive is first and seven. They don't start first and 10. They start first and seven, because if they get 7 yards, they're going to get the other three, like you mentioned. It's 100% true. The game of the weekend. We have flipped a couple times here. I'm looking at one book, Ravens by a point and a half. Boy, if that's your line, I mean, I can't argue against teasing the Bills. I would expect this to be a close game. I do think Baltimore's better. I think Buffalo's just very small defensively, shaky against the run. And to me, it's just as simple as Lamar has Henry. Allen doesn't have a Henry. So I do worry, and I mentioned this a little earlier, the Tucker issue has kind of gotten forgotten because they've been winning these games by a lot. It's been all touchdowns. It's been blowouts. I would not trust him to sink like a 47, 48 yarder if the game comes down to it. But I just think Baltimore's better. I think they win a close game. What are you looking at here?
I'm with you on the Ravens. Now, you mentioned Justin Tucker and the kicking issues. Let's not lose sight of Tyler Bass, who missed a monstrous kick last year against Kansas City with a chance to go and send that game into overtime. I don't trust him at all. I've seen him been way too shaky over the years. But the reason I like Baltimore in the game is simple. Buffalo has a Derrick Henry problem. They had a Derrick Henry problem early in the year. They've had a Derrick Henry problem going back to when he's played with Tennessee Titans. They can't slow him down. They can't stop him. I don't love Lamar in these big games. I don't. I've gotten burned by him on a couple of different occasions. Last year in the AFC title game against the Chiefs. A few years back, Josh Allen ended up beating Lamar Jackson in a low-scoring game in a divisional round right after COVID. But to me, Baltimore is more well-rounded, and they have Derrick Henry. And I trust their coach a lot more than I trust Sean McDermott. So I think it's a tight game. I think Josh Allen is unbelievable. I hate betting against him. He's going to make some spectacular plays against the Raven defense. But I know Baltimore can rely on Henry. And as long as the game stays within, you know, that 7 to 10 point range where they're not getting blown out and they're not going to become one-dimensional, when you can rely on Derrick Henry in these games, I think it's the ultimate difference maker. Well, I played a -116 on the money line. I'm not getting cute with the point and a half. Give me Baltimore -116 to win the game.
Who wins the Super Bowl?
Until I see otherwise, Chiefs. Right? I've gotten burned each of the last 2 years thinking it's not going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. The team I really don't want to win is Buffalo. I could live with anybody. The team I'd love to see win is Detroit. I'd love to see Detroit go and win the Super Bowl. But, hey, Kansas City's there. They got home field advantage. Until somebody knocks them off, Will, I'm going with the Chiefs, man.
I know it's kind of in vogue to like root against Kansas City. Oh, we're sick of them. We hate the Chiefs. They get every call. It would be kind of cool, at least from, you know, a historic standpoint, to you know, to see a three-peat, and the fact that it hasn't been done. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
They're right there. All they got to do is win two home games and win a game down in New Orleans. They're right there. So until you, like in the AFC, as brilliant as Allen and Jackson may be, have they beaten the big guy when it matters? One of them is going to get a chance to do so next week.
All right, couple quick ones with the coaches, then some baseball, and we'll get you out of here. Does Deion take the Cowboys job?
It's fun to talk about. I'm going to say no. I think he's better suited in college, number one. And as tantalized as Jerry might be, I think he goes like the Kellen Moore type. That's my guess.
Where do you think the Jets go for a coach?
Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
Not what I would do. I like Aaron Glenn. He's well respected. He's done a great job. They need a coach with coaching experience. I think they're dropping the ball by not interviewing experienced guys. I'm going to say, though, Aaron Glenn with his Jet ties is the next head coach.
You think Rodgers retires?
No, I think he's playing somewhere else next year. I don't know where yet, but he's playing somewhere else. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe New Orleans if McCarthy goes there. But he will not be with the Jets. I can say that with certainty, Will. His Jet career is over.
Man, I kind of thought it was going to work. I thought he had enough left. Who knows if he didn't get hurt. I thought the rest of the team around him was good. I just thought it was a nice fit. And, you know, who knows if things go differently. But, and I'm not a Jet fan, but it, just for, you know, content purposes, Rodgers is a great player. I was kind of rooting for it to work. Man, what a disaster it was. Jeez.
It was an epic disaster. And it wasn't just Rodgers. Like, statistically speaking, you look at Rodgers' year and say, wow, the numbers. If you would have told me in September these would be the numbers, I'd say, wow, the Jets are going to win 10, 11 games. Played all 17. They obviously had coaching issues. Their defense wasn't as advertised. And this is where you got to knock Aaron. They had a lot of games early, midway through the year where he orchestrates a drive and wins a game. We're talking about a different year, and he was awful in those two-minute situations. Denver, Indy, Buffalo. I could give you a bunch of different examples where he didn't get it done. Seattle, and that kind of defines your season.
Yeah, nowhere near as bad as the record, but still just a complete disappointment. Baseball, I think I had you on a week or so before Soto ultimately signed with the Mets. I think the Yankees have pivoted nicely. I can't go as far as say, hey, they're better, they're even as good, but it's close. I like the bullpen. What are your thoughts here with the Yankees losing Soto and everything that's happened since?
They've done as good a job after losing Juan Soto as you possibly could do. Their pitching staff is so much more improved. You got Freed right there with Cole, top of the rotation. Williams, back end of the bullpen with Luke Weaver. You have a legitimate closer. You have a legitimate 8-9 1-2 punch. I love that. Offensively, Yankee fans are going to love Bellinger. The guy's a gamer. He's a good defender. He can play in the outfield. He can play at first base. I'm a big Cody Bellinger fan. I've wanted him on the team for a while. I don't know what Goldschmidt has left. I think if you lower expectations and say, okay, hit 240, 250 with 20 home runs and you get that, you should be very satisfied. Assuming, of course, you get a good glove at first base. I'd like to see one more move, and it's not a big move. I don't need the Yankees to go and spend a 7 or 8 year contract for Alex Bregman. That'd be a disaster. I'd like another veteran professional infielder in here to work their way into that mix. But here's the best thing the Yankees have going for them well. The American League stinks.
Yep.
Who really scares you in the American League? Baltimore has done absolutely nothing this offseason. Boston's improved. They're not there yet. The Astros are not the same team they've been. They said goodbye to Kyle Tucker. Seattle has no offense. Texas is an older team. The teams in the Central never beat the Yankees. If your measuring stick is the Dodgers are really, really good. I don't think there was a move the Yankees could make that would catapult them, or any team for that matter, over the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that will hurt, but I like the Yankees where they're at to get back to the World Series because I don't trust the rest of the American League. So you get back there, your pitching, your defense, your fundamentals are better. You go make another move, you take another shot at it. That's my hope.
Yeah, and I like the kid Cruz, too, they got from Cincinnati. I think 15 strikeouts per 9 innings, a guy that can miss bats. I mean, they can get a lot out of him, man. It's kind of like an old-school Yankee team where you can start the game, get a lead into the 6th inning, and feel good about, you know, closing it out. Any other baseball take, remaining free agents, Alonso, any team that's impressed you this offseason, take it wherever you want to go.
You know, I think the Tigers, adding Gleyber Torres, if they can add Alex Bregman, I think they could go and win that division next year. I really like what I saw from the Tigers down the stretch. Bregman fits really well in either Detroit because of A.J. Hinch or fits really well in Boston because of that green monster in left field. That's a move for one of those two teams that makes perfect sense. Aside from that, man, it's like the waiting games. Nobody wants Alonso. Nobody wants Santander. And I'm curious to see who emerges in the American League to go and be the main threat to the Yankees this year. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, and it's not great for the sport that these free agents linger because in basketball, you know, when there's good guys July 1st, 2nd, they're pretty much all gone. You get that buzz. Same thing, NFL, you get that week in March, there's buzz. it's just kind of drips and drips with baseball. And there's just, you don't get that same like enthusiasm where, hey, for a week or two in December, we're talking about all these free agents. I don't know what you can do to address it, but it doesn't feel like it's the best for the sport.
No, it's a bummer. And listen, it's due to the way the sport is set up economically. You don't have a salary cap in place, but it's not ideal. Yeah, it's not good for the sport to have these guys lingering around. It's like, oh, they might sign today. They might sign in spring training. No, enough. Let's get it done, please.
JJ, you're the best, man. Ringer, New York, New York. Where else can people find you?
Ringer Gambling Show. We'll be on Monday and Thursday. Rock and rolling. Got you covered for all the NFL stuff. And yeah, New York, New York coming out later on tonight.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. As always, good to catch up.
Pleasure, Will. Anytime, dude.
All right. Enjoy the football. 7 games left. Enjoy them while you can. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Monday breaking all of it down. We will have conference title games to look forward to. We'll have national title game on Monday. So fun times. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.